Hello everybody, in this webcast we are going to talk about how to manage Drupal websites on Windows with Drush. Drush is a command line shell and scripting interface for Drupal. It's very useful for deployment and management. It's cross-platform, so you can use it on Linux, on Mac OS X, on Windows. On Windows you have an available installer at the URL that you see on the slide right now. It's related to Drush 5. So we will target that specific version on this webcast. Drush requirements. The installer handles all the requirements, so you don't have to worry about them. PHP. Drush is written in PHP, so this is the reason why it's also cross-platform, given the fact that PHP is available on Linux, Windows, and so on. GNU Win32. This is required for all the Unix tools which are not available natively on Windows. Then you have a CWR Sync, which is an rsync implementation for Windows, which you will use for site and database synchronization in order to manage Linux hosts from your Windows console. Then you have WinRM for remote management of Windows hosts. Let's say already now that WinRM is for Windows more or less was what SSH is for Linux. Here is a little sample of Drush commands that you have available. You have the full list on the Drush WS website, as you can see on the slide now. So some examples, which are just a small subset from what you have available. So you have a core status, which you can use it also with the alias, which is status, which gives you some, general information about your website. Then you have site install, SI, which you can use to install a website. It means that you already have downloaded your website and now you are finishing the install. PM download, DL, and PM enable, EN, are very useful to download modules and extensions or even the core Drupal installation. Clear cache, this is probably the main troubleshooting tool, which is abbreviated in CC. It's very useful to clear every type of Drupal cache. Watchdog show, WS, it's very useful to see a list of all the messages which are related to your website. Self-update and update DB are very useful to handle updates. rsync and SQL sync are, to close this small set of commands, very useful to handle synchronization among websites. Modules can furthermore also provide additional commands. For example, Apache Solr can do that. It's providing some extra commands specifically for the handling of the Solr cache. Drush aliases. So if you have a single local site, you probably don't care too much about what an alias is. In that case, you can just cd into your site's directory and issue your Drush commands, so you don't need to handle more than one website. If you have multiple local sites, meaning sites configured on your web server, or if you have to handle remote sites, so sites which are not on the machine in which you are issuing the commands, in that case you need probably to manage your alias file. You have a user profile .drush.aliases, drushrc.php file, which contains all your alias information. They can be generated manually, we will see in the next slide how to, or you can just go inside of your directory and you can just issue drush sa at self. In that case you will get some information that you can just cut and paste inside of your alias file. You can also get extra information if you put some parameters like --width -db. In that case you will have, for example, all the data which are related to your database connection. Once you have your alias file in place, you can just issue commands against your site, for example with drush at remote, where remote is the alias, status to get information. Here are some examples. You have local, which is a local, of course, a site on the server itself where you're issuing the commands. So you have the root directory, you have the URI. That's everything you need to start with. Then as a second example, we have a remote website which is hosted on a Windows server. In that case you have the root, so the physical path which is referring a path on the remote server. You have the URI, you have OS, which can be a Linux or Windows. You have remote user, which is the user that you're using to connect to that server. You have a WinRS password, which is a parameter specific for Windows, which you're specifying the password for the credentials to connect to the server. And you have, of course, the remote host, indicating which is the server you want to connect to. The third example is referring a remote Linux website. In this case, you have the root, specifying, of course, the Linux path, a URI, OS, Linux in this case, and a remote user. We don't provide a password because we will use key authentication with SSH. And we have a remote host for sure. So how do we handle the management of a remote server in Windows? Windows does not provide an SSH server. Natively, I mean, you can download a third-party one, but that's a different story. Windows provides WinRM, so Windows Remote Management, which is a service that you can run, in this case, on the server, that you need to configure to start with. So we can, to begin with, enable the service. In order to configure it to start automatically, you can do it, for example, with command line, with sc-config winrm start auto, and then you can just start the service with net start winrm. You can also do it from the graphical user interface, if you prefer so. You need to now to configure the service itself. You can do that with winrm quit config. We will see this in the demos, of course. It uses HTTP or HTTPS as a protocol. The second one, I mean, if you plan to use HTTPS, it requires a trusted, not self-signed certificate in order for the client to connect. Take care anyway that HTTP, even if it's not encrypted at the HTTP protocol level, it uses anyway encryption for the single commands. So the commands are encrypted and sent over over the HTTP channel. WinRS is a Windows remote shell. It runs on the client and needs also to be configured. You can use WinRM set WinRM config client and specify the servers that you are trusting. It's a little bit awkward in a way, because usually it's on the server which you specify the clients which you trust, but in this case also on the client you can specify which are the servers to which you can connect to. If you put an asterisk, it means any server, or you can replace the asterisk with a specific list of trusted servers. You can check now if it works. The best way is to just issue a command on the server. So for example, winrs minus r remote server cmd. You can also specify credentials, of course, in together with a winrs command, in case you are not running in a domain and or you don't want to use the same user that you're using on your client to connect to the server. For drash, you have to specify also those credentials. You can put them in the alias as drashlc, and the parameters are remote user and winrs password. As an alternative, which provides better security for the simple reason that you don't have to write anywhere your password after the initial setup, you can use cmdk and with the parameter add, specifying the remote server, slash user, specifying the username, slash pass. Afterwards, it will ask you for the password. Okay, from your Windows box, you can manage remote Windows Drupal sites and also Linux Drupal sites. I mean, Drupal sites which are running on Windows or on Linux. So in that case, we are using SSH. In order not to provide a password to connect to the server, we can generate a key pair, a public and a private key, using RSA or DSA. So you just need to specify your home directory. It will be needed to access the .ssh directory. And then you can issue the ssh-keygen command, and it will generate your ID RSA private key and public key. They will be in two separate files. On the server, you just need to copy this ID RSA public key inside of a specific file which is called authorized keys and is also in the .ssh directory of your user. And don't forget also to put proper permissions on top of it. In this case, we can use chmod and 600 to have only the owner to be able to read it and write it. We are going to run our demos with three servers, two Windows boxes and a Linux box. We have Drupal Web 1 here, and we have Drupal Web 2. Drupal Web 2 is going to be the server, and Drupal Web 1 is going to be the client in our scenario. So we start by installing Drash. We enable the remote management. We check the registration for local variables. And we enable social sync. We don't really need it here on the server, let's say. Okay, installation is in progress. installed. We do the same on the other Windows machine. Okay, postpone this. And also we select all the options. Return on the other machine, so Drupal 2. If you run WinRM, you will see a lot of options. Among them, you have Quick Config. So you can start it. He will ask you if we want to create a listener for the HTTP protocol. We have to enable the WinRM firewall exception and also configure a local account token filter policy to grant administrative rights remotely to local users. Say yes, and everything is set. So on this side, we did everything. We go to the client, Drupal Web 1 in our case. And we run this configuration in order to make sure that we will be able to connect to the server. Now we can connect to the server. Okay, everything works. You are in a shell on the server now, as you can see by running the hostname command. We will see the remote hostname itself. You can exit now. Okay, now we're going to create a website. We're using WebPI to do that. We look for Drupal. We choose the Acquia distribution. And a local MySQL. So we are also installing MySQL at the same time. Here we are providing the MySQL root password. Here we go. We create a new site. We call it simply Drupal 7. Physical path is going to be local. And the hostname. Create a database on the local MySQL that we just installed. Here we go. We're almost finished. We open the Drash command prompt. We need a host file line for this specific site because we put a fake host name, of course. So here we go. So now if we open it, okay, you can see that the site is ready and it needs to have the installation finalized. We can go on like this on the website, or we can do it via Drash. Okay, stopping it here. Move to Drash. Move inside of the directory where we have the site installed, which is here. And here, I'd say Drash site install without any parameters. who will ask me if I want to drop all the tables inside of the database and recreate it. So that's it. Now we have a username, which is admin, and his password, which has been randomly generated. So let's go back to our site, or let's open it again from here. As you can see, the setup is finished. We can also repeat this installation, enable different profiles, and choose different options. It gives an error saying that it's not able to send an email, but we just don't care about it. So if we reload the site, as you can see, we have again everything. We can log in with the credentials we just created. Here it is. Only one thing we have to check here, which is related to the file system, is that the temporary directory gets set to the PHP default, which is something that we definitely don't want. First, because it's not writable, and second, because it's not a good idea. So we just change it to TMP, just a directory inside of the default folder. Here we go. The next demo consists in installing Drupal from scratch using Drush. So let's use Drush DL. By doing this, we are downloading the latest version of Drupal. Okay, this created for us a directory which is Drupal 7.14. So we rename it. Okay. So, first thing, we're going to set some permissions in order for the website to write in the appropriate directories, which is going to be in the site's default. We set the permissions, modify permission for the iUser user. Next, we create a database. And a user. A MySQL user. Okay, so we have a database, Drupal 7, we have a user Drupal 7, and we grant permissions to the user Drupal 7 on the database with the same name. Next thing, we are going to install the site by using Drush SI, as you saw before. This time, we're going to specify also the details related to the database configuration. We do that by specifying --db --url and then a URL with the MySQL details. Okay, installed. We need now to create a website in IIS. We can do that also from the command line. So appcmd is a command line tool with which we create a site called Drupal 7 Drush with bindings in HTTP on the port 80 and the hostname Drupal 7 Drush. Physical path is going to be the one that we just created. Last, we need to create an entry in the host file. And finally, we can start up our site. Here it is. You can log in with our user. As in the previous case, we will need to change the temporary directory. done. As you can see, we don't need too much work to install a MySQL-based Drupal site. Now we're going to work with the aliases. So let's enter inside of our Drupal installation directory where we have all the Drupal site and issue a do as a self command. This is providing the information that we need to create an alias specific to for this site. You can add also some additional data, for example DB information. In this case, the list is completed with a lot of additional data. Let's say that we want to add an alias to the list. We go inside of our user profile. We see there is already a Drush directory. And here is where we have to create this special file called aliases. drushrc.php. It's a PHP file. So, and we can copy here the data we got from the drush command. Give it a name. This is basically just an array. And we have to change also the URI. Okay, here we go. If we run again Drush SA, we see that now we have Drupal 7 in the list. So now we can stay anywhere we want inside of the file system and say, for example, Drush at Drupal 7 status, and we issue a command on this specific alias. In this case, the status command gives a lot of information related to the site itself. Here we can run now any type of command, for example. Suppose that we are going to issue an update. With this command we can just update the database and so on. The next step consists in administering with Drush a remote website. Everything we have to do is just to add some additional information to the Drush, to the aliases DrushRC file. In this case we create an alias, we call it remote, and here is all the information. So it's on a Drupal Web 2 host, and we need a user called administrator and a password called password. Being a Windows host, we are logging in with WinRS, that's why we put a password here. Here it is. In case you might not want to put the WinRS password inside of the aliases file, you can always use cmd key. If you run it without parameters, you get a lot of information about the usage itself. So let's say that the target host is Drupal Web 2, the user is called administrator, and we specify a password. Okay, at this point we can remove from here username and password. And issue again our command. Our next demo consists in creating an alias for our remote Drupal site on a Linux server. So let's start in our Drudge command prompt. Let's set the home environment variable. And now we can use the sh keygen. We leave the default parameters. It's going to create actually two files. We leave an empty passphrase. Two files inside of a .ssh file directory. Inside the file home. Here they are. Okay, now we have to copy over the content of the idrsub pub to the Linux server. So, one idea could be just to copy over the file, another one is just to open it here, copy the content, just text, SSH inside of the server, we accept it as a known host, and then we enter with a password this time. So we go inside of the SSH directory, or we create it if it doesn't exist, and we create a file which is called authorized keys. Also, we just edit it if it just already exists. And we passed the content of the data we got from the public key. Okay. We have to put proper permissions on this file. And here we go. Now, we expect to enter without password. This is exactly what is happening. Okay, back to the Drudge configuration. We go to our aliases file. And we copy an additional setting. So we call the alias Linux, too simple. We put the root in /var/www/Drupal7. We have a URI here. We don't need a password, of course. And here's our remote host. Let's start with a status. Okay, it's working perfectly. At this point, we can run any type of command on the remote server. We can even run synchronization commands from the local to the remote server. We can issue, for example, a DL command. Let's say, for example, the Apache Solr module. That will be automatically downloaded. Okay, now let's go back to our Windows setup. Let's say that we want to interact with the remote Windows installation. So we can download the module. And we can enable it. For example. Okay, this is just one of the many examples of activities that you can do with Drudge. It's a very, very powerful tool. In this webcast, we saw mainly how to install it on a Windows box and how to perform the basic administration activities. There are a lot of tasks that you can do with Drudge. I hope that you will add it to your toolbox.